Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Summer Friday. Carden Roberts, Craig is off, and I took him off the golf course on a 90-degree day. I feel bad about it.
Don't feel bad. I played yesterday. Played pretty well.
Good. Because when weather is 90,
I'm playing a lot.
When it's 90 degrees, I hate it personally, but I know love it. I know that's your jam.
That is me, 90. Bro. I'm either playing golf or I'm out working on my tan. You know, I'm doing one of those two things. So
I got to tell you, you look very tan.
Well, I am.
You look good.
Yeah. Well, I work on this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in the summer, I want to look tan. I mean, you know, so I'm happy. By June 2nd, I got a pretty good tan already.
But this is all natural. This is not like a fake tan the way Lugie has one or Sid Rosenberg has one.
Does fake tans?
Yeah, he puts like the
spray tan. No, I'm not Sid who, you know, goes out in the sun for an hour and then goes into the tanning bed for another hour. No, that's not me.
And you don't do the spread on either, right?
No spreads. No, hardly.
Well, I'm glad you're here. It's a good time to be a baseball fan. The Yankees are back. The Mets are back. The Mets coming off a sweep of the Phillies. The Yankees have been playing great baseball. And for the Yankees, they not only have been playing well and they get set for this interleague series against the Dodgers, they got the horses coming back.
Yeah.
They got Josh Donaldson, who no one's excited about. Tommy Kahnle, who can help the bullpen.
Giancarlo.
But the big one is Giancarlo Stanton.
What's the over-under before he gets hurt again? You give him a month before there's another injury from Giancarlo?
That's the unfortunate thing about him. When he plays, he changes his entire lineup.
Of course.
Especially if Rizzo's going to play tonight, too. We'll see. He's missed the last couple of days. But all of a sudden, the Yankee offense, which has scored plenty of runs other than the other night, they had the three straight games of scoring 10. But all of a sudden, instead of Willie Calhoun protecting Aaron Judge, you have Anthony Rizzo and Giancarlo Stanton. All of a sudden, the Yankee lineup looks menacing.
Well, look, I look at the Yankees this way. As long as Aaron Judge is playing, okay, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. Because to me, you could talk to me till the cows come home about Ohtani and is the best player in baseball. I'll put it this way. The most dangerous offensive weapon in the game is Aaron Judge.
He's also the guy who, if you take him away from the Yankees, they are a completely different team.
No question about it.
He is most valuable of valuables. And we saw that a year ago where if you took him away from that Yankee team, I don't know if they make the playoffs. I kind of feel the same way now. Now, obviously, once they're healthier, it's a much more representative lineup when you've got Rizzo and you've got Giancarlo. But Aaron Judge has basically been doing the same thing. Other than the week and a half that he missed when he was on the injured list, so he missed a little bit of time, the guy's really picked up where he left off last year.
He's got 17 home runs already, right? I don't know how many RBIs he's got. He's batting like 300, whatever he's batting. No, I'm telling you, the guy's unbelievable. He really is. I mean, and look, I understand Ohtani pitches, but you know, Judge is a tremendous defensive player, too. I mean, this guy's a great all-around player.
I almost think that Ohtani needs to just be disqualified because he's doing something none of us have ever seen. This includes Ruth. Ruth didn't even really do this, if we're being honest.
No, but he was pitching and then he went. You know, he didn't do both at the same time.
So, any discussion around this?
I remember. I was around for that,
You saw
that 1918 season in Boston.
He had a long wait before they won it again.
Right.
So, you put Ohtani to the side because he's so unique. But in terms of being an all-around baseball player and valuable to your team and clutch, because a lot of his home runs give him the lead.
Yep,
a lot of the home runs tie the game.
It.
He's been an incredibly clutch player. But if you're a Yankee fan right now, you got to feel pretty good. You're coming off a series win against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting healthier. You get a little bit of a challenge with this first-place Dodger team. But after the early bumps in the road where things looked bleak, here they are sitting there kind of within shooting distance of Tampa Bay. They're six games back. They're 10 games above 500. They're in a playoff spot if the season ended
today. In the toughest division in baseball.
Oh, not even close.
It's not even debatable.
I mean, every team's above 500.
Yep.
to the point where the last place team, the Red Sox, would only be a half game out of first place in the American League Central. They'd be tied for first place in the National League Central, and they're in last place in the American League East. It's remarkable. And then you have the Mets, who completely had the 180 from the disaster in Colorado, where the starting pitching was awful, the bullpen was awful. They're scoring plenty of runs, but they give up 21 runs in two games. And I got to tell you, after that series, I'm looking at this rotation, and unlike the lineup, where there's always the help of, hey, let's call up this guy, let's call up that guy, there's no help with the pitching. You need guys to pitch better. And over the three games against the Phillies, starting with Kodai Senga Tuesday, Cookie Carrasco Wednesday, and then Max Scherzer yesterday, all of a sudden, three guys that need to be better were better.
Hey, look, you know, you got two real good starts in a row from Carrasco, right? Went six innings, six and two-thirds innings, the one before that. You know, Scherzer now, back-to-back outstanding seven-inning performances that game in Colorado. Senga has been, look, you look at the splits at home, he's unbeatable. You can't hit him at home. He's got like a 1.2 ERA on the road. It's like four or five, whatever it is. But, I mean, we've seen Senga have some dominant games. I mean, in the game he struck out 12 against Tampa, which really kind of started them back on.
Right.
You know, that was the game where Vientos hit the big home run to tie it, and then Pete eventually won it. You know, Alvarez got the big hit to tie it, the home run to tie it in that game too. You know, so all of a sudden, you know, the pitching is starting to look a lot better. Now, Verlander's been one good start, one bad start. He had that unbelievable start against the Guardians, okay? Unbelievable start against them. Pitches eight innings, a throwback game. Him and Bieber both going eight innings. Oh, my God.
That was awesome.
And what was this, Gibson and Koufax? Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And then he goes to Colorado and gets destroyed.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I would think he pitches well tonight because now he's due for a good game against the Blue Jays
Let
tonight.
Max Scherzer be a reminder to all of us because
I thought he was done, bro.
Yeah, and a lot of people
I got to tell you, I thought he was finished.
And I don't think you were crazy for thinking it because when you look at the way he closed last season, the Atlanta game, obviously what happened in the postseason, and then even everything he did this year, even opening day, like he was fine on opening day, and then he gives up a bunch of home runs and blows a lead late. Mets won the game anyway. But Scherzer had put together enough of a sample size, plus the injuries, plus the sticky stuff where he gets suspended, where you start to worry because at some point, older guys, as great as they are going to start to lose it. And there have been warning signs about Scherzer, but to Max's credit, especially the last two starts because he's gone deep in the game. He's given you seven innings.
Yeah. Oh, and he's been great.
Yeah, he has been almost back. Now, am I 100% confident in him? I wouldn't go 100%. I feel better. I think he's going to show us a lot next week because his next start is in Atlanta against the Braves, the site of the crime when he went down there last year and you know what at the bed, as did really the rest of the team. We wasn't alone in that.
Yep.
So I think if he goes out and pitches well against the Braves, I'll start to believe it even more. So with Verlander, who we've barely seen because he missed the first month of the year, I don't know. You almost want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's a Hall of Famer, because he's got the long resume. But they need these guys to pitch well because if they struggle, there's no magic fix.
No.
With this lineup, when Escobar struggles or Vogelback or Canna, we can scream and yell about Mauricio and Vientos.
Can we get Vogelback out of here already?
Nah,
he stinks. How is this guy still on the team? You got to tell me. I mean, the guy never gets he never hits a home run. He rarely ever gets a big hit. He does walk a lot. I'll give him that. I mean, can we DFA this guy and bring Mauricio up, please?
That's the only thing he does is walk.
That's it.
That's it.
He's terrible.
He's been awful.
You know, at least Cannon out of the last couple days, you got a couple big home runs from Cannon, who kills the Phillies, by the way.
I know.
All of a sudden, you got him. You know, he's starting to hit a little bit. Pham had that big game last week at that four. I guess it was the game he lost to Colorado, 11-10.
Yep.
He had four RBIs in that game. You know, he's hit a little better. But I just can't take Vogelbeck anymore.
Well, I can't take the fact that Buck starts him every day.
I know.
And that's the problem. Like, I'm not necessarily in the camp of you got to get rid of him, you got to DFA him, because I think there is a good in Vogelbeck. We're just not seeing it right now.
Tell me what that is, because I'm missing it.
Well,
tell me.
He can hit a few home runs. He just hasn't done it this year.
Two home runs, bro.
No, this year he hasn't.
How many home runs did he hit for the Mets last year? Seven?
But he was more productive than this last year.
More productive than this.
He had like an 850 OPS.
Yeah, last year he was better than what he is now.
No, he's been terrible. And I wonder if it's getting to him, if it's starting to like pile up.
He gets booed a lot, too, and deservedly so.
I think, yeah.
Of course.
The problem to me is that Buck continues to play him. And the only conclusion I can come up with is that he hates Mark Vientos. I mean, that's
got a big hit yesterday. Drove in a run, you know, on a sack fly.
He had a big sacrifice fly. Yeah. He used him as a pinch hitter, but for the most part, he still feels like this need to start Vogelbach against right-handed pitching. Now we'll see what he does tonight when the lineup comes out. They're facing old friend Chris Bassett, who's a right-hander.
Yeah,
Vientos should be the DH.
Of course,
period.
Of course, he should. He should be the DH all the time. You tell him. You know, you're asking me about it. But it's interesting with the Mets because now all of a sudden they're winning at home. I think they've won 8 straight home games now.
Yeah.
They've also, and this stat to me, this is telling on when we're talking about the starting pitching. There's, I believe it's now 16-0 when a starter goes at least 6 innings.
Incredible, right?
Right? And they haven't lost a game.
They win when they get length. Now, I know a lot of teams win when they get length, but the Mets haven't lost a game when they get length from their starting
pitching.
Absolutely
not.
And, and sometimes it's boring to say it, but they just need guys to be better. Like, after that Colorado series, you look at that entire bullpen. You look at this rotation. These are the guys who are going to be here. They may be able to add a guy at the trade deadline, of course. That's still 2 months away. There's no one from the minor leagues that's coming up
save the rotation. Everybody from the minors is really an everyday player.
Right. Well, no, everybody from the minors would only be position players. There's
that's
no starters,
mean.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. They're everyday players.
David Peterson was up here. No one wants to see him again.
David Peterson's there.
No, and he's been up and down in the minors. Joey Lucchese's okay, I guess.
Right. He had one good start against the Giants. He went 7 innings, and that was about it.
All downhill from there.
Right.
They got a prospect in Double A named Mike Vassell. He ain't coming up anytime soon. He got bombed in his last start. So,
well, Ohtani will be in a rotation next year.
Because
you know Uncle Steve's going home. You know. I don't know. He might stay in L.A.
Right.
What I hear, he wants to stay in the West Coast, play for the Dodgers.
Nobody really knows.
But who knows? You know, Uncle Steve will not be outbid for him.
And look, would you not want him?
Of course. I want him.
Of course.
I want him.
You know what scares me?
Of course I want him.
If
he could pinch and he could hit behind Alonso.
Yeah, you're adding a slugger and you're adding an ace.
Right, not bad. Right.
But what scares me is if the Angels fall out of it, because there's still a couple of games above 500. They're in a race for a playoff spot. We'll see how long that lasts.
That they might trade him by the deadline?
Yeah, but let's say they decide, you know what, we're going to trade him.
Right.
I don't think they will, but let's just say the Angels decided. Artie Moreno says, we're going to trade Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
And, of course, Billy Epler makes the phone call. You know who they're going to ask for.
Well, but here's the thing. Are they signing him? That it all comes down to that.
It's a risk.
You're gonna, you're gonna tell me you want Mauricio or Vientos, Beatty, whoever you're gonna ask for. Forget Alvarez; he's off.
Well, no.
Alvarez is off the table.
It's gonna start with Alvarez.
No. Alvarez is
Joe,
he's on catch it for the next 10 years. I don't want to hear it.
I completely agree with you. I am not debating.
I am not
that,
trading Alvarez.
But you know that when you're trading a two-way superstar that we've never seen before, they're going to ask for that first.
Well, you're not getting
it. And you say no. No way.
No, Alvarez is off the table.
All right.
You want to talk about Mauricio. You want to talk about Vientos. You even want to talk about Beatty. I'll talk about it with it for him.
Right.
I'm not trading Alvarez. He's here. He's my catcher for the next 10 years. How about the nonsense a couple weeks ago, that they were going to send him down? What is this called?
You know why that never worried me? Because he was never.
How can you?
It was never going to happen. It was such a non-worry because they were only going to have to make a decision once Narvaez comes back. And I looked at it this way. If Alvarez plays well, they're not going to send them down.
Right.
If Alvarez goes 0-30, they may send them down.
But plus, they love pitching to this guy now.
Right.
You even listen to what Scherzer says about him. I know he made a bad throw on that play at third base yesterday, a double steal.
He also made an incredibly clutch throw to nail JT Realmuto in the first game of this series.
Yes, he did.
After Rodovino walks a guy on 4 pitches.
Right. No doubt. 100% right. Yes. Now, look, I love him. And how many big... Look, I mean, every time he hits home run, it's a big home run. I mean, come on.
He's gotten a ton of clutch hits. He's been really impressive defensively.
He's off the table. Untouchable.
I agree with you, but this is the funny part when you call up prospects. You call them up, they play well, they become untouchable.
Guy's untouchable. I don't think Beatty's untouchable or Vientos is untouchable. Alvarez is untouchable.
I think you're
First of all, he's a catcher.
Right.
Okay? And he's a catcher that can hit. I'm not trading. There's no way I'm trading now. Don't even talk to me about Alvarez.
There's two things about Alvarez besides the offense, which is the obvious, and the clutch hitting like you mentioned. There are two things about him that just make me go crazy, like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, he's already this good defensively at a young age, and you mentioned it. The pitchers are raving about him.
Got a great arm, too. He likes to throw the ball to first base.
Incredible. Yeah, which I think is more valuable these days because of the whole pickoff rule.
Right.
The other thing that I've heard a few different people say about him, coaches, is that he works his ass off, and he's always learning and trying to get better. I think sometimes guys get to the major leagues, I made it, I'm done. To hear he still has that drive to get better at everything makes it scary on how good he can be. And he's been great, and it makes you wonder about the Mets, because the Mets would tell us through their little leaks, he's not ready defensively. He's not that good defensively.
Right.
What the hell were they watching?
Yeah, well.
Does he look good defensively to you?
Well, like I said, he's the catch. The way he's going, I mean, I look at the catches around baseball. He's one of the better ones.
He's already getting there.
Of course.
Because there's not a lot of great catchers in baseball.
No. So to me, he's off the table. Getting back to Ohtani, though, if I'm going to trade for Ohtani during the season, I mean, I got to have some kind of assurance that I'm signing him.
You know that's not going to happen.
Well, that's the problem.
I mean, Steve Cohen could have the biggest checkbook in the world, which he does, and make him an offer. When you're this close to free agency, and you're about to become a free agent like we've never seen before.
Oh, forget it.
This is a free agent that is undescribable. How do you not just get there and see what the market
says? No, he's going to get there. I would not trade for him during the season. If they trade him, they trade him. And then, you know, you go after him at the end of the year. I mean, that's the way to do it. And I'll tell you something else, too. And I know he's kind of slumping a little bit lately. You know, Pete's got to get paid soon. Because I do not want to deal with what the Yankee fans had to deal with last year.
Scary,
with the drama,
right? Yeah.
That they could lose Aaron Judge, which, you know, was iffy for a while.
Whenever you let a guy get to free agency,
right, you never know.
There's always that chance
they
leave.
You never know. You cannot have that happen with Alonso.
We've seen legends leave. Maybe not necessarily with the Mets and Yankees, but I always think back to Albert Pujols when he got to free agency. Mm-hmm. And we all assumed. I remember sitting next to him like, he's staying in St. Louis.
Right.
But you gave another team an opportunity to give him a quote-unquote stupid contract, which it was. And guess what? The great Albert Pujols left St. Louis of all places.
Right.
So I agree with you. When you let a really good player get to free agency, you play a dangerous game. The Yankees played an incredibly dangerous game.
Very dangerous.
Now, they got him back, and you can't even imagine a world where Aaron Judge is not a Yankee. I mean, can you imagine that? Aaron Judge on the San Francisco Giants right now?
Hey, look, that's why, you know, that before he gets to free agency, Pete's got it. Because Pete is going to be the greatest everyday player in the history of the franchise.
If he stays healthy,
there's no question about
it. It will not be close.
Not even close.
But here's the thing about Ohtani that makes it scintillating to make a deal, even if it involves giving up a ton of prospects and not having that extension. It would be like trading for Soto and Gerrit Cole at the trade deadline. You would be trading for two superstars.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Now,
how often
does that happen at the trade deadline?
But you can. But like I said, Alvarez is off the table.
No, I get that. I totally get that. But that's why trading for him, as much as I would be scared of, it's a rental, what if you have a bad week in the playoffs and they don't win anything, and then he's gone and he's a Dodger, of course it'd be a disaster, especially giving up top prospects. Mm-hmm. It would be like trading, I don't know, let me think about this, unprotected draft picks for a decade for two fossils who barely play for you. I'm thinking of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
No, I'm sorry.
And it can haunt you.
Bro.
And let's say those draft picks, those lottery tickets, turn into, I don't know, let me just pick up some names, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
I don't know.
Yeah, right. Not bad. Not bad name. By the way, can we have you mention that?
Yes.
Thank you, Miami Heat. Thank you so much. Boy, I'll tell you, man, I am so happy that they beat. I did not want to see the Boston freaking Celtics have that, you know, coming back from 3-0. Thank God that didn't happen.
It's so funny. After Miami lost game 6 the way they did in just ridiculous fashion.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous.
And it's going to be one of those games that goes down in history as like the forgotten game because you didn't win.
But it was an all-time great game, though.
All-time great
finals game, though.
And unlike some fan bases, we're not going to celebrate it because we lost the series. The Yandy Chavez catch, we lost the game. The John Starks dunk, you lost the series.
Exactly.
No celebration. But I thought to myself, like everyone else did, Boston's winning game 7. It's a lock. How could they lose game 7? But the more you watch that game and the more you think back to what the Celtics were this year, this was never the team that was going to come back from 3-0.
Well, first of all,
they were flawed all year.
How many games they lose at home? They lost twice to Philadelphia in the playoffs. They lost the first two games. Actually, lost three games at home to Miami when all was said and done.
Yeah.
You know? And one reason why, I want to see Miami win this series, but one thing Miami did in the first three rounds of the playoffs is they won every game won on the road.
Right.
That didn't happen last night.
Well, they're dead.
I'm not going to say they're dead, but they're in trouble with this team. This team is pretty good.
I think they needed to steal game one.
Yes, I'm with you.
That was the game they needed to steal.
I'm with you.
And with them not being able to do it, Denver is longer. They're better.
Yeah.
They've got a dynamic force that no one can stop.
Yep. Jamal Murray's pretty good, too.
Jamal Murray's tremendous.
Yep.
He's fantastic. He's the most. Even though they're in the NBA Finals, all the attention is now going to Jokic, and it should. Guy's incredible.
Yep.
But Jamal Murray had a torn ACL, and he has come all the way back.
Yeah, he's tremendous.
And he was great in the bubble, but I think a lot of people, maybe rightfully so, they don't give the bubble any credence. They don't give the Lakers credence, Miami's run, Jamal Murray, everything in the bubble. I think the Heat run this year and Jamal Murray's resurgence, to me at least, has validated what happened in that bubble.
Yeah.
To me
at
least.
Well, he's been great, and and here's the other thing that made me so happy. You know ABC wanted Boston Lakers. You know that.
Of course.
I'm seeing all these commercials. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Oh, my God. Yeah, and you know, Denver, Miami, they're all like, oh, my God.
Yes.
So I'm happy about that, too.
And congratulations to Jokic.
Stick it to ABC. Screw them.
Second player ever to have a triple-double in his first NBA Finals game. And let me just remind you who the first was.
I didn't realize. Now, that's against the Lakers.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously that was not a very good series for the Nets.
It was not a good series.
I don't remember him getting a triple-double in that. That was in L.A., obviously. I remember that.
Let me give you a short summary of game one, because this lives in my brain
forever. I don't remember game one.
And I totally get why you don't.
I was at the two games in the Meadowlands.
And they could have won them, by the way. Game three, they could have won.
They could have won game three.
They were down in game one of the NBA Finals.
They almost beat them in game two, if I'm not mistaken, too. They played them pretty tough in game two.
They played them tough both games in L.A.
Yeah.
In game one, they went down 41-18 first 20 minutes of the game, quarter and a half in. They were dead. They looked like they did not belong.
Right.
Like they were run over by a dynasty. Okay, this is going to be quick and painless. We're out. They then meticulously made a comeback. They pulled it within three with 4 minutes to go, and they started hacking Shaq. And he made the free throws.
Yeah, well.
And Jason Kidd had a quiet
kind of like Mitchell
double.
Robinson a little bit this year.
A little bit, except
we didn't win the series.
Right. And he's not Shaq.
No.
But
hardly.
Yeah, that was the only other triple-double in a first NBA Finals game.
Jason Kidd.
Obviously, incredible performance by Jokic. He's been great entire postseason long.
No, he's great. I mean, he's a different kind of player. I mean, you look at the guy, you say, how's this guy so good? But he's an unbelievable passer.
Great passer.
I mean, he might be the best. I thought Bill Walton, because I saw Bill Walton play, you know, obviously, I've seen them all. I'm an old man that I am. I thought he was the best passing big man I ever saw.
Right.
This guy's better.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This guy's unbelievable.
For my era,
and
he's
he wants to pass first before he's taking shots.
Yeah.
He's not even worried about shooting.
His game is so multifaceted.
Yep.
Like, he can beat you down low and bang you in the post. He can hit the outside shot. He's an excellent passer. He's everything.
He is.
He's a great player. Yeah. And I think in the NBA, more than any other sport, to really kind of solidify yourself as an all-time great, you got to win.
Got to win. Got to win the championship.
He's going to win.
He's on his way.
I think that was made obvious last night.
Yep.
We'll get to a lot of your calls coming up, 877-337-6666. We'll touch on football. We'll get you ready for the Yankees series.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
L.A. and the Mets series against the Blue Jays. Boningo and Roberts. Craig Off, he'll return on Monday.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Two interleague series this weekend. Mm. And it took me 2 months to formulate this opinion, but now I have it. I don't like it.
Oh, God.
I don't like playing everybody.
Of course you don't.
Doesn't
it stinks.
Do it for me.
It's terrible. Why? Let me just say this, okay? I like all the new rules. You know me, I even like the ghost runner. Okay, I like all the rules. No shift, I like.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
You know, the bigger bases are fine. You know, only throwing over twice. I got no, the pitch clock I love.
The pitch clock's amazing.
The pitch clock's great.
Amazing.
And there's no doubt about it.
Right.
But playing everybody, you know, why even have the All-Star game anymore? The right. All-Star game's a waste of time.
It is a waste of time.
You're playing, nobody cares. You're playing everybody to begin with. I absolutely hate it.
I
hate it, bro.
I understand for Yankee fans this weekend, and I'll admit this. I think you'll admit this. I could be wrong. It's kind of cool, Yankees Dodgers.
Okay.
It's kind of cool, right?
All right. I guess, yeah.
A little bit. Yankees at Dodgers Stadium makes you think of the late
70s. If it was a World Series, I mean, well,
Yeah, but this is one of those interleague matchups where, okay, it's kind of cool.
All right.
I mean, at least I do.
You want to say that? Okay, fine.
You agree with that?
I agree with that, yeah.
All right.
But now it's going to be less cool because it's going to be every other year.
Yeah. That is true.
Only every other year?
Well, no,
they play every year, but they'll rotate home and away.
Yeah, next year it's at the
stadium. They'll only be at Dodger Stadium other year.
Right. The idea of Yankees-Dodgers at Dodger Stadium, you're going to get it every 2 years. So I'll admit that's cool. I'm going to the game tonight.
Right.
I'm excited.
Right.
But the Blue Jays means nothing to me. I would rather see, because the games they took away to make this happen are divisional games. There are six less games between the Mets and the Phillies.
Yeah,
there are six
13
less
games, now. 13
right,
games.
As opposed to 19.
Right.
There are six less games between the Yankees and the Red Sox. Call me crazy. I would rather Mets-Marlins this weekend. They're separated by one game. The game matters more. I'd be more excited about Mets-Marlins than Mets-Blue Jays.
Well, I'd even, I can live with 13 games in a division. Let me play the Cubs more. Let me play the Cardinals more. Let me play the Pirates more. You know what I mean, bro?
And
let me play these teams that I had a rivalry with in the old days with the Mets when they were in the Eastern Division.
Right, right.
Let me play those teams.
And you know what? I'll give you a different reason for agreeing with you. Because the old days, yes, like I grew up with the Pirates being the team I hated the most because they were really good.
Right,
but I would like it because the games would matter more.
Sure.
Because right now, not that anyone's analyzing the standings, but the Mets against the Pirates matters. They're battling potentially for a wild card spot. And nowadays, there's tiebreakers. They wouldn't even be a one-game playoff if they finished tied.
It
would be head-to-head, so those games matter. Those games matter more.
What do they play, six games against those teams?
Six or seven is usually the number. So, I look at Mets-Blue Jays as a better example than Yankees-Dodgers because I understand how that's one of the rare interleague series that you could look at and say, okay, kind of cool. Mets-Blue Jays, does that do it for anybody?
No.
And I just think that games against your division or, like you said, teams in the league you're in just matter more based on the standings.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that Mets are the Blue Jays.
It hurts. It to me, again, it absolutely kills the All-Star game. And it hurts the World Series, too. I mean, one thing that I loved growing up, look, and I understand, I'm an old man. I seen, I go back to when you win the league, you go right to the World Series. I mean, that's what it was for the first, 8-9 years that I was watching baseball. But, obviously it's never going to be that again. But, I mean, there was something, I forget what the right feel is, but when, something, I guess, romantic about, you're playing a team in a World Series that you never played.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And now it's totally different.
Oh,
it's thrown
dead.
Out the window now.
It's dead. It's dead. I'll give you an example. In my scorebook, I would always write down interleague play. This year, I stopped writing it down because who cares?
Right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't even matter anymore. The one positive, because I always want to be fair about this, selfishly, and I don't think this matters as much to you, it'll matter more to me and Big Mac, that I like about playing a team every year, is the selfishness of, hey, I want to see the Mets play in Boston. I know it's going to happen every 2 years.
Right.
And that's cool.
Right.
Like, I know.
Well, I saw them in a World Series there, so I don't need to see them play every year.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Me.
But if Big Mac wants to see the Yankees at Dodger Stadium, he doesn't have to wait 10 years or a World Series.
Years,
he knows every 2 years they're going to be there. And there are certain stadiums that I'd love to visit, but I want to see the Mets play there. I don't want to see the Pirates take on the Kansas City Royals in Kansas City. I want to see the Mets in Kansas City.
Mm.
So, but it's a purely selfish thing. From a baseball standpoint, I'd rather play more games against you.
Of course. No, I'm told, look, I mean, that's the one thing. I like all these new rules. Like I said, I really do. The pitch clock is just tremendous. I mean, these games are over in 2.5 hours. It's beautiful.
Yes.
I mean, it really is. I love it. But I just, that's the one thing that I really just, I do not like it at all. It takes away. It's just not,
No,
it's really not. It's not the same.
Let's get to some of your calls. 877-337-6666. Chris in Manhattan leads it off. Hey, Chris.
Chris, how are you?
Hey, guys. What a pleasure speaking to you on a Friday. I'm coming off of a Mets sweep. Not bad, right?
There you go.
Beautiful.
You know, isn't it amazing how Alvarez went from, like you guys said, to 4 months ago, people questioning his defense, to now Max Scherzer raving about
him.
I mean, pretty amazing, right? What a turnaround.
Yep. Untouchable, as far as I'm concerned.
And the other thing I wanted to tell you guys, look, I know the Vientos thing, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of watching this kid play. Guys, this guy hits the ball hard. And I think the problem with not playing him consistently is you're asking him to do one of the hardest things in baseball, that is to come in, play every couple days once in a while and be a pinch hitter. And that's normally a role that's reserved for, like, more veteran players who can manage that.
You're super tough. You're right. I think it's very difficult for a young player who's 23 years old to come up here, play for 3 days, and be good in those 3 games, sit down for 2 games, and then get an at-bat as a pinch hitter and say, go perform.
Here's the other thing about Vientos. You can make a case that the biggest hit all year by the Mets was Vientos' homer against Tampa Bay in the 7th inning. They're down 2-0. They look like they're dead in the water. It looks like the season's getting ready to spiral out of control. And he hits that 2-run home run in the 7th inning to tie the game. And that, since then, that everything has gone the other direction.
You're right.
That could be the biggest hit of the year.
And if it's not, one of Francisco Alvarez's big home runs is the biggest hit of the year.
Right, but that game, you know, they were done. I mean, they never win in this game. They're not going to score a run.
I've been thinking about this recently, and this is for the last decade and a half around the New York Mets and the New York Yankees that I find fascinating. It feels like the Mets over the years have downgraded their prospects before they ever get here. Like, all I heard about Pete Alonso was he's not good defensively at first base.
Right.
And he gets up here, and you're like, it's not that bad. He's gotten better.
He's gotten a lot better.
All we heard about Francisco Alvarez is, he's not a major league catcher. He gets up here, he looks great. I remember hearing about Jacob DeGrom's not really a prospect. Then he comes up here, wins rookie of the year.
He's better than everybody.
Becomes better than everybody. It feels like consistently with different administrations and different owners, the Mets downgrade their prospects. Then you have the Yankees, who do the exact opposite. Jesus Montero, Ruben Rivera.
I think of Ernie when you say this.
Of course.
Ernie, I've been trying to get in touch with you, Ernie, if you're listening. Will you call me already?
He was very upset when the Mets called up Gary Sanchez, and then very happy when they got rid of him.
And he goes to San Diego, and I think he's hit home runs in back-to-back days now.
2 games.
I thought he should have got some kind of a shot by the Mets at DH.
Yeah.
I thought he should have.
There's just no role for him.
He can't catch.
There's no role for him. They just don't have room for him, especially with Vientos being up here.
Yeah.
But it feels like the Yankees consistently overrate their prospects.
Yes.
And the Mets basically badmouth their prospects. That's the way it's felt for a decade. Like, there's so many examples of it.
It's true.
And look, I don't know what Anthony Volpe's going to be, and I'm not ready to send him down or give up on him.
He looks pretty. He's played well.
He's been all right, but his numbers aren't good enough.
No.
He's got to get better.
Right.
And his defense has been shaky. But we heard he's the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Mets, it's almost like they talk about their prospects like they're garbage.
You know, guy, I got to tell you this. While you bring up Volpe, because we're talking shortstops here, so I got to. I have warmed tremendously to Francisco Lindor, okay?
Well, you were against the trade at first.
I didn't want the trade. But and look, $300 million for him, I mean, come on. But whatever. I have warmed. This guy, here's what I love about this guy.
Yep.
Okay? He plays every day.
100%.
Plays 160 games a year.
Yep.
He gives you gold glove caliber shortstop. I made a couple plays this last week that were tremendous. Gold glove caliber shortstop. And somehow somebody gave him heat for that double play, that line drive double play the other day against the Phillies where he just lobbed the ball over to
Alonso.
Yeah, it
was Tom McCarthy and Ben Davis on the Philly broadcast.
He didn't even run. Clemens' son didn't even run it out.
I know.
What are you talking about?
There was no. I don't understand what you would want Lindor to do. You want him to kick the ball to first base?
I mean, come on. So anyway, I don't care if he hits 220. If he's going to hit 25 to 30 homers and he's going to drive in 100 runs again, he's got 40 RBIs already. He's going to drive in over 100 runs and he's going to play 160 games a year. I like the guy now.
I have used you as an example in this because I know the way you think. And everything you said, I talked about this on the podcast I do about the Mets, Rico Bronya, which you can download
when
you download it.
That's the name of the podcast.
That's
you and
podcast.
Hoffman, right?
Yes, Hoff does a great job.
Right, okay.
So I said, there's a split on Francisco Lindor, and I'm going to explain this perfectly. There's me and you, but specifically you, who say he's driving in a ton of runs. He's doing fine. He plays every day.
Yep.
I don't care what his average is. I don't care what his OPS is because I'm a Met fan.
Right.
And if you drive in a lot of runs, that means a lot of runs are being scored.
Right.
And if a lot of runs are being scored, you're helping the team win. That's one side of it, which I get, and I think diehard Met fans get. Then you've got, like, the analytical side, which says, Well, his OPS is very low. Can't deny that, by the way. Mm-hmm. His average is really low.
Right. Well, his on base, I think, is under 300, yeah. Right?
By the way, no one's denying that 220, 293 on base and a 710 OPS is not good. We're not arguing that. But what we're telling you and what Joe is telling you is we don't care.
Yep.
Because
I don't
if
care.
You hit 30 home runs and drive in 110 runs, right, which is essentially what he did last year, we don't care if that's relying on guys getting on base in front of him. As fans, we care that he's driving them in.
And I also
and so
care
that
he plays every day,
bro.
I mean, to me, Derek, you cannot put more and more have I become, you know, very, very, you know, conscious of that. So many guys that don't play. And we can, you know, in all the sports, I mean, we got a litany of guys we could throw out there.
Yeah,
okay,
to
get
absolutely.
Hurt constantly, right? We're talking about Giancarlo, the guy's constantly hurt. You know, your buddy there, Simmons, what a joke he is
don't
in the NBA.
Up.
I mean, I guess he's an extreme. But, you know, even Durant, this guy's hurt all the time. Lindor is out there every day. There's a lot to be said for that.
Yes.
There really is.
Yes.
Especially in this world that we live in now, where guys are always getting rests. Always.
Absolutely. And I think what numbers sometimes don't take into account is you could put up great numbers. Like, let's say Lindor's played 57 games, which is the amount of games the Mets have played this
right.
season. He's played
yeah.
every game.
Right.
If he had played in 45 games but had better individual numbers, you're not accounting for the guy who would be playing instead of him
yep.
in those 12
yep.
games,
yep.
which make it harder for the Mets to win. So if you're talking about what helps the Mets win, Lindor's had a good year. You could take the OPS and you could throw it out. If you're breaking him down with every other player in baseball, yeah, I can't argue the numbers.
And here's the other thing. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Mets right now have the second best infield defense in baseball, or at least in the National League.
Right.
As far as, you know, runs saved.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of that is because Lindor now is free from the shift nonsense.
Absolutely.
That he can. But the Mets up the middle, I mean, let's be honest about this, too. Brandon Nimmo has become a tremendous defensive center fielder.
Brandon Nimmo.
Right. I mean, how good is he? He takes that home run away the other day. He made another nice play running to the wall to make it. I mean, he's become a terrific center fielder.
He has defensively passed Carlos Beltran defensively, in my opinion.
Maybe.
I think he's better.
Yeah, wow.
And that's
saying a lot from you.
I know, because I thought he was great, and
right.
he was great.
He was.
But Brandon Nimmo's making the incredible catch routine on a nightly basis.
Nightly basis.
He's saving home runs.
Yep, yep.
He's getting great jumps on balls.
Yep.
Now, Nimmo does something that pissed you off about Beltran. Plays a little deep.
He does play deep. He does.
A little deep.
He does.
But
he's become, but seriously, man. I mean, look, we were all wrong about Nimmo. Nimmo's become a tremendous everyday
no
player.
No doubt about it.
A key part of the team.
He's become incredibly important, but you hit on it. Lindor does this. Alonso does this. Nimmo has now started doing
yep.
this, and I'm going to knock on wood as I say it.
Yep.
They play every day.
Every day.
And, you know, you look at Giancarlo, who's about to come back, and this is not about just ripping him, but it's about the truth. He changes the Yankee lineup in an incredible way.
No
There's
question.
There's no doubt.
Look.
I know how much you have respect for him. He's an incredible slugger.
You kidding?
One of the best pure sluggers in the world. But he's not reliable. He doesn't play enough. That's been the biggest issue since he's walked through the door. Now, come October, do I trust Giancarlo Stanton? Yes. He has been a great October player.
Very good.
But he missed 52 games last year. He missed half of that 2020 season. He basically missed the entire 2019 season, and he's missed a big bunch of this season. So his tenure here with the Yankees has been defined by missing time, but being really good in October. I'll give him that. He really has. But that's the knock. Like, I want a guy who can go out there and play every freaking day. Now, to Judge's credit, over the last year plus, he's done that.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the big knocks on him, too.
Well, look, I mean, last year, I mean, you know, you can't have a better year than Judge that had last year. No, again, more and more as I get older do I appreciate, you know, like I said, the greatest ability, I forget who said it, but it's so true, is availability. The greatest
it's
ability
true.
Is availability.
It's true.
Playing all the time.
And I'll even throw you this, and I'll throw every Met fan this. It's kind of the biggest issue with my guy, Jake. He is so not reliable.
No,
he doesn't pitch. I love the guy. I appreciate everything he did here. I hope he's healthy for Texas. I do. But
he's still out, right?
He's still out.
It's been like a month already, right?
And I was talking to my dad about this at the Met game the other night. And
how's your father doing, by the way?
He's doing great.
Yeah, good.
Doing fantastic.
Is he working or retired, your father?
He's done the smart thing. He hasn't retired. He just works less but still works because
right.
he loves what he does.
It's almost like me now.
It's like it's
I work less, but, you know, anyway.
We were talking about Jake, and we're like, it's nothing he's doing. Like, he's not planning this, right? Now the contract talk's over. He's
right.
out of New York.
Right.
The conspiracies can go away, right? What happened? The guy used to take the ball every 5 days. Like, he was a reliable starting pitcher. What has happened in the last 3 years where he's frail? Mm-hmm. Like, did it change mentally? Did it?
You think maybe it's because he never adjusted to, you know, throwing as hard as he can all the time?
That could be it.
Is that the answer?
That was always my worry. I remember bringing that up to you, that he throws too hard and it worries me.
Right.
Maybe that's the issue. Maybe because he never threw this hard early in his career, and he was still damn good. He didn't throw 99, 100. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's as simple as he's throwing so hard, and his body just can't hold up and do it for 30 starts.
I think that's what's happened to him. I really do.
Crazy.
He can't do it.
We'll take more of your calls coming up. Plus, I think you'll appreciate this. We dug into the archives and found some classic calls from Joe in Saddle River.
Oh, no, you didn't.
To Howie Rose with Met Opinions. And we're going to analyze your Met Opinions from 30 years ago.
Can't wait for that. How are we going into the Hall of Fame tomorrow? Right?
It's part of why I thought it was a good time to do it.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.